I can start if you want.
Yeah.
Kathleen.
Oh.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your empty cupboards having, oatmeal for every meal eating, dinner tonight is going to be popcorn, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Haney, your having the worst 24 hours of my freaking life, friend. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I can't. I have no other things to say about myself today.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about today?
This week, I am inviting you to join me for debate class, Bethany.
Ooh.
I never took debate in high school. Did you?
No, never. And I always wished I had.
What's on your plate this week?
This week, I am talking about a bizarre condition known as foreign language syndrome, where people who have head injuries wake up with a foreign accent.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And it's real.
Yeah.
And it's wild.
The brain is a weird, strange universe.
It is. Now, Kathleen, you're sweating, breathing heavily, and wearing your sunglasses.
I know because, okay, Bethany, I know you're so mad at me right now.
I'm legitimately angry.
And you have every right to be. But listen, I'm late today. I'm not even just like 5 to 10 minutes late.
You're
like
45 minutes late.
Bethany, like, you know, like the comfortable amount of lateness that's appropriate, you know, 10 to 15 minutes.
Well, for a recording, I would argue a recording session, you shouldn't have any late.
Okay, but Bethany, let me tell you why I'm late. It all started yesterday.
Okay, what happened?
So I got up in the morning and I opened up the refrigerator and the cat food fell out of the door, Bethany.
Oh, it's the worst.
Bethany, and then...
Okay, so that's not an excuse for you being late today.
I have to give you the full timeline, okay?
Okay.
So the cat food, I had to clean up all the cat food. Then I wanted to make a good protein smoothie.
Sure. I've
been working with my nutritionist.
Yeah, protein's important.
Yeah, but I didn't have all the ingredients she said to buy because I just, you know, I didn't go to the supermarket.
So okay. Okay, so you were shopping your shelves.
So I'm shopping my shelves. Okay. I make the worst smoothie I ever had in my entire life.
What was in it?
Flaxseed, coconut cream.
What's that?
Some pineapple, some collagen. Bethany, I had to dump the whole thing.
Okay.
Okay, so then.
So again, that's not an excuse for being 45 minutes late today.
No, but then, okay, so then I had to take my car to get serviced, okay?
Okay.
And it's going to cost me $800.
That sucks.
Plus another $800 next week.
Why next week?
Because next week I got to put the tires on, right?
Oh, wait, the tires are off your car?
The tires are, So Bethany, so that it's all leading up to today.
Sure.
And then they were like, oh, we're not going to have your car back to you until 4 o'clock. So I'm like, shit, I have a business meeting that I have to get to. So
sure.
So I borrow my mom's car, right?
Yeah.
But on my car keys, I had to take my key for my apartment off of my regular keychain because you give that to the dealership.
Sure. Yeah. You got to give your keychain to the dealership.
And you don't want them to have access to your house.
Never.
Because they know where you live.
Yeah. They know where you live. They could just come right in and take all your things.
Yeah. So I borrow my mom's car. I go back to my apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go meet my friend. Yeah. It's like a friendly business meeting for lunch. And I lock myself out of my apartment.
No. So that happened yesterday?
Yes,
which
Bethany.
Which is definitely not today.
No.
So today is when you were 45 minutes late to
Bethany,
the meeting.
Okay. So then I go and get salad with my friend.
Delicious.
And I'm trying to pay with Apple Pay.
Yeah.
And their Apple Pay isn't freaking working.
Uh-oh.
And I lock myself out of my apartment.
And you didn't have your money with you?
I didn't have my money with me. I only had my phone.
Well, I don't know if I've ever left my house with only my phone.
I wasn't thinking, Bethany.
Sure, because it was a stressful day.
It was a very stressful day.
Uh-huh.
So then, turns out my friend Kathleen has the same name as me.
Yeah.
And I finally get my Apple Pay to work, and I order double protein, and you know who they give it to? The other Kathleen.
Right, but the good news is you know each other, so she can give it to you.
Yeah, but different orders. It was like a poke bowl.
Okay, but again, I'm forgive me, little confused still how now this makes you 45 minutes late today.
No. So
and thank you for your patience with my misunderstanding.
No, Bethany. It's I'm getting there. Okay. So I pay for her double protein. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was nice of you by accident.
Then I stole I guess I borrowed. No, I can't return it. I borrowed like plastic forks
so
and
stole.
Knives.
Yeah. Okay.
And the wood coffee stirrers.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I tried to break into my apartment.
Oh, I see. So you stole all these items to try and like jimmy the lock. Okay. Great. Did it work?
No. It didn't work.
All right.
So I had to call Neil, who's already so mad at me because now he's the one who has to take my mom's car back to her house to get our car being serviced.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you please come home from work early? I locked myself out.
Sure.
And so then he had to take a $60 Uber to get to my apartment.
Oh, no. Was he 45 minutes late when he came to pick you up?
No.
Okay.
No, he wasn't. Okay, Bethany.
Just trying to figure out the tie in here.
Bethany,
keep going.
I trust you. I'm getting there. Okay, so then I had a really good business meeting, but it took me a while to get set up because, you know, I was locked out of my apartment.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. No, I remember that.
Yeah. And in the process of trying to break into my own apartment, I had to rip off some of the fireproofing rubber around my door.
Oh, no.
So if there's a fire in my building, like...
It'll come in.
Yeah.
It'll come in like the unwanted neighbor.
Yeah. The only bright part of my day yesterday is that you and I had a really good live show.
It was so much fun last night, Kathleen.
So fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was a good time.
You were on time for it, which was exciting.
I was on time. I know.
For everyone.
I know, Bethany. But then really the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, when?
Because, no, I mean, I'm talking like the literal fan stopped working in my apartment.
Oh, no.
There is no AC in my apartment.
Why?
It is broken.
Why? Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Did you fix it by throwing shit at it?
I opened up the utility closet. There was water all over the floor. We called the...
Why is there water on the floor?
I don't know, Bethany, because it is the worst 24 hours of my life.
Now, did the water seep into your alarm clock?
Okay, so...
So, I'm again, yeah. Forgive me.
Yeah, okay.
Trying to make this connection.
So, it didn't seep into my alarm clock, but close.
Okay.
So, now it's blazing hot in my house in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I cannot sleep, right? Uh-huh. And I'm up, and I'm pacing, and I have a headache, and I had to eat a bean burrito at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, dear.
Because the only thing we have in the fridge.
Yeah.
And I know my nutritionist is not going to be proud of me for that decision.
You know what? You got to do what you got to do. At least you fed your body.
And then I had to go back to sleep... Because it's so hot, and I'm like, please, willing my body now that I've put some food in it. Sometimes it's easier to sleep when you have food in your
stomach.
Absolutely,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, please, please, please go to sleep. So finally, I fall asleep on the couch. I put a fan directly on my body.
Yeah.
Then I wake up, and I'm going on vacation, right?
Yes.
So the cat guy has to come to the apartment.
Oh, no.
The cat guy has to come to the apartment so he can meet my cats, and then I can show him where the cat food is, Bethany. Yeah. But he is late.
Would you say it was frustrating because it threw off the rest of your day because he was late?
Yeah, it really did, Bethany.
Yeah, it's really kind of frustrating, right, when someone's so late?
Bethany, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
So then I had to jump in the shower and get an Uber, but turns out that like there's 10 fires today in the New York metropolitan area in the short 20-minute span between my house and this studio.
'Tis the season.
Yeah, so Bethany, it took 45 minutes to get to, it took more than 45 minutes to get to this studio.
Yeah.
Okay, but then Bethany, I get in the Uber and I'm like, okay, I can finally breathe. Mm-hmm. I have a minute. I have a minute to myself before I meet up with Bethany and we have the best podcast ever, right?
Best one ever, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm feeling jovial because the air conditioning guys, they made an appointment. They're going to come today at 4 o'clock. And like, when I get back, maybe it'll be fixed. And then my Uber driver, she's so nice. She's talking to me.
She's a nice one.
She's so nice, Bethany. But then her driving is awful.
Oh, no. In what way?
Bethany, she...
Like, is she slow? She's, like 45 minutes slow?
Yeah. No, not like, necessarily. Mm. But she's like stop and go. You know?
Oh, I hate that. Makes me car sick.
Heavy on the brake. So I'm getting car sick,
Bethany.
No. And then she tries to sell me a timeshare in the Dominican Republic.
Did she give you a bottle of wine at least?
Bethany, no, she absolutely didn't. And I'm so car sick that I have to discreetly open up my computer case, take up my computer and throw up. I'm nauseous. So I'm throwing up in my computer case, Bethany.
What?
And then I'm having a panic attack because I'm going to be late to meet up with you.
Yeah.
And it is so rude. And I fucked up so bad.
Oh, no.
Because I owe you the world for being super understanding because I know you're being super understanding.
I am working so hard to be super understanding. You got me at car sick because you know I get car sick and I can empathize.
And you know, the thing is that I prematurely tipped her $25
or
25% because she was so nice when I got into the Uber, Bethany.
Yeah.
And then we got caught behind a fire truck and she's going heavy on the brake. I've already thrown up once. I don't want to throw up again.
No.
And she's like, I'm late to pick up my daughter at the airport because it's taking so long to get to your destination. I throw my hands up in the air. I say that this is the drop-off point. I said, this is fine. I'll walk the rest of the way.
Oh, dear.
And so I'm in here. I'm so parched. I'm still wearing my sunglasses because I don't even have time to get my regular glasses out of my bag. And my glasses are full of sweat.
Oh, no.
Like, I can't even see you through this fog in my sunglasses.
Yeah, it's tough.
Bethany, and that was why I'm late today. It started yesterday morning.
It all started with the cat food falling out of the fridge.
It got everywhere.
Okay. Did you throw away your puke computer bag?
No, I didn't.
Throw away the puke computer bag.
No, I'm going to clean it out, Bethany.
Your vomit is actively sitting in the studio right now?
Yeah, it's in my computer bag, inside a tote bag. It's fine.
You have to throw that away.
The computer bag, Bethany. It's not even that wet. Here.
Kathleen, don't pull it out. No, don't pull it out.
Bethany.
Please don't. No, it's wet. I can see it. Kathleen.
Okay.
Okay, we have to pull this over to the side of the road.
Okay.
We have to all get it together.
Oh, I'm chafing. I had to walk here so fast. I'm chafing.
Okay, so, all right. Kathleen.
Yeah.
And everyone listening.
Mm-hmm.
I need us all to stop down.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. Okay. We are all right.
Uh-huh.
We are going to have a good show.
Yeah.
Fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
Right after this commercial. Kathleen.
Yes.
I already know the answer to this question. Mm-hmm. But when you look at your hair, specifically for you, your widow's peak, are you 100% happy?
No, I am angry about my widow's peak. It was burned off by a hair colorist years ago.
Yeah. And I can see that you have hairs growing there now, thanks to Vegamore.
I know, Bethany. Isn't it amazing?
It's wild.
Like, it used to just be like little baby hairs that would never grow.
Yeah.
And now that I've been using Vegamore's Grow Revitalizing Shampoo and Conditioner Kit, I'm actually seeing new growth, and it's very exciting.
I can see them from all the way across the table.
Wow.
I also overplucked my eyebrows in my youth because I saw an interview with Kevin O'Quan on Oprah, and he was talking about rules you can break about your eyebrows. And I was like, then I'll break all the rules.
Oh.
But I started using Vegamore's Grow Brow Serum.
Yeah.
And I was kind of skeptical, I'm not going to lie. I have hairs growing back in the spots that have been bald for years.
Yes.
And I truly am blown away. I was like, this stuff actually works.
And the key to Vegamore is consistency.
Yes.
And Bethany and I have been consistent over the last few months. We've been partners with Vegamore for a long time now. And our minds are actually blown by the results that we are seeing.
It's nuts. And by the way, they are cruelty-free, they never contain parabens or hormones, and there is no risk when trying them because they have a 90-day money-back guarantee.
And working in the Grow Revitalizing Shampoo and Conditioner Kit is so easy.
Yeah.
I just get my shampoo, I massage it into my scalp for 60 seconds, I follow up with the conditioner, and then I put the serum on my scalp. It is part of my daily routine now. It's not hard to use.
Not at all. It's crazy. It's crazy how well it works.
Yeah.
So get the hair you have always wanted with Vegamore. Go to vegamore.com/taste and use the code taste to save 20% on your first order.
That's vegamore.com/taste. And then use the code taste to save 20% at vegamore.com/taste.
Kathleen, I don't remember when we talked about this because time is just a flat circle at this point. But I mentioned at some point somewhere that I have an uncle who is a full blood uncle who speaks with a different accent than everyone else in my family. Do you remember when I mentioned this?
I am trying to recall, but I believe that you mentioned it.
Yeah. So he's my uncle.
Yeah.
No, maybe I mentioned, I don't know. I mentioned it at some point.
Okay.
No, I mentioned it on a Twitch stream. Ignore me. Okay. I have an uncle who is fully related to me.
Yes.
Full blood.
Yeah.
He has a different accent than everyone else in my family.
Does he live in the same place?
Yes, same place as everyone. And he's always had it.
Are some people more susceptible to accents than others?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he is a 100% Norwegian man.
Okay.
He sounds like he has a Spanish accent.
Are you making fun of a man with a speech impediment?
No, not a speech impediment. It's fascinating.
That is so weird.
It's so cool. So that led me to think about this very real syndrome, which my uncle does not have.
Yeah.
This is just my way in. It is called foreign accent syndrome. And this is a real thing.
Come again?
So it is a rare speech disorder that causes a sudden change to speech so that a native speaker of whatever language is perceived to speak with a quote-unquote foreign accent.
Do they copy what they hear on TV or the radio?
Unknown.
Wow.
So it's most often caused by brain damage. So you hear about, it's super rare, by the way. There's only between 60 and 100 confirmed cases of this.
And your uncle has it.
No, he doesn't have it.
Oh.
But he just has a different... That was just my way into the topic.
No. I understand.
Yeah. But a lot of people who have this had a stroke and then a lot of times the speech centers of your brain, you have to relearn speech. And so one of the theories is that brain damage alters the way your neurological systems work, which just affects your speech.
Yeah.
Or it affects like the parts of your brain that control the motor functions of your mouth.
Okay.
And so you're moving your tongue and your lips differently than you did before the stroke because your brain is operating it differently. And so it can make it sound like you have a different accent.
Imagine there is a rehab facility for, let's just say, young people who have strokes, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And you go there and you live there for a little bit to recover. And your roommate is the type of person who has a stroke and then all of a sudden is a piano maestro.
Oh my God, I wish.
But you're the one who wakes up speaking like an old German man.
I know. It's like in Family Guy where they all have superpowers and then Meg could just grow her nails fast.
Yeah.
It's like that.
That's how I feel about my brother's metabolism. It's like, we're from the same womb.
I know. My older sister has like nails that grow long and strong and beautifully and she like doesn't care.
Yeah.
Okay. So different things about your speech can be altered.
Yeah.
If this happens to you.
Sure thing.
It could be the timing. You could speak faster or slower. The intonation. You know, you could go up on the end. Uh-huh. Instead of in America, we go down on the end.
Yeah.
Your tongue placement. And they say that the results of this are in the ear of the listener. So people from different backgrounds may think you have different accents. Like if I'm French, I may pick out the French in your accent. Or if, you know, I'm from Germany, I may pick out something German in your accent.
I mean, I get that. If I meet somebody in California and that person's from New Jersey, there are a handful of words that I might say to them, hey, are you from New Jersey?
Completely.
Yeah.
So here, I'm going to go through a couple of cases of this because it's so fun and interesting. And you know, I love something that doesn't It's not sad. You know, like strokes are sad and tough.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun that there's this outcome.
Do you think that you have ever picked up anything from me?
For sure. For sure.
I mean, I definitely have picked up the way that you verbalize stuff.
Yeah.
Like I call the government.
The government.
And I also sometimes make my pauses longer than I used to.
Oh, interesting.
Because you're a pauser.
I pause to think because my brain, I don't know what I'm saying until it comes out of my mouth.
But also you're very good with timing and you know that it creates dramatic effect.
Hell yeah.
If you pause and then you stop and let that person think about what you just said for a moment.
Yeah.
I had a roommate in college used to laugh like this.
Very nasal.
And I was laughing like that for a long time.
Oh, you start picking things up. Like Dennis can tell when I'm listening to a certain podcast because he does not like how that podcaster speaks. And I will pick up that podcaster's mannerisms.
Yes.
And at one point he actually said, I don't know who you are anymore. Yes.
I love it. Well, you know, there are all these little kids who speak with British accents now because they're obsessed with Peppa Pig.
It makes sense, though. It totally makes sense.
And people go on TikTok and they're like, look at my two-year-old speaking. We're from Connecticut.
Yeah.
And the kid is like, Mom, can I please have a snack?
It's great. I think it's so charming. Okay, so let's talk about some cases of this.
Yes.
So in the early 2000s, an Ontario woman named Rosemarie Dorr had a stroke. And while she was in stroke care, she started speaking as though she was from Eastern Canada, specifically Newfoundland. Apparently, she had never been there. She didn't know anyone from that area.
Huh.
But while she was in this stroke rehab center, a nurse who was from Newfoundland was like, there's another Newfie in here. And Rosemarie was like, well, it's not me. And she was like, it is you. And Rosemarie was like, nope. And she said she was trying to speak normally, but she could basically hear someone else's voice coming out of her mouth as she spoke.
That is insane.
So her consonants changed, for example. So she, pre-stroke, had said this and that.
Yes.
But now she was saying dis and dat, like with a D.
Oh, is that what they say in Kannada?
In Newfoundland, apparently.
Oh, Newfoundland. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
And researchers also... Oh, but here's the other interesting thing.
Yeah.
Linguists noticed that she still said the TH sound on occasion. So even though she wasn't saying this and that anymore, she could still make the V sound.
Yeah.
She just wasn't using it in all of the ways she used to use it.
The brain is a scary and fascinating thing.
Yeah. Yes. So researchers took acoustic measurements of her speech.
Yes.
And found that they compared closely to the vowel sounds made by East Coast Canadians, but it wasn't exactly the same. So it was not a true accent. It was truly her brain was manipulating her mouth in a different way. And it just resulted in it sort of sounding like this type of accent.
Wow.
It's crazy. All right. There's one of the first known patients of this.
Yeah.
Was reported after World War II by a Norwegian neurologist named George Herman Monrad Krohn.
Krohn.
He described a Norwegian woman who was hit on the head by a bomb fragment during World War II.
Yeah.
And it did some brain damage. She started speaking with a German-like accent. World War II is the wrong time to suddenly have a German accent.
That's right. You're right.
She became the target of bad anti-German sentiment because people were like, oh, you're a German living in Norway? And she was like, no, I'm not, but
this is just the way that I speak.
Yeah.
How unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. There was an Oregon woman named Karen Butler. She went in for dental surgery.
Oh.
And they think what happened is that she had a small stroke while under anesthesia for the dental surgery.
Oh, that's so scary.
This is from an NPR report from 2011.
Yeah.
So she had been born in Illinois, raised in Oregon.
Uh-huh.
She'd never been out of the U.S. After she came out of dental surgery, she sounded like this.
I was born in Bloomington, Illinois, but I moved to Oregon when I was just a little tiny baby, and I've been in Oregon ever since. I just went to sleep and woke up. I've got my mouth is all sore and swollen, and I talk funny. He says, well, it will all go away. You'll talk normal when the swelling goes down. And then I didn't.
What was that accent?
I think they said like the UK. Like she had like kind of almost a...
Yeah.
Like a sort of a Cockney type accent.
It sounded like that, maybe with a little bit of Dutch or something mixed in there.
Yeah.
So she works for H&R Block.
I don't know. I think so.
Can you imagine calling to get your American taxes done and somebody that doesn't sound American picks up the phone and you're like, do you guys even know American tax code?
Which then you would be racist because you'd be like, you're not from here. You can't possibly know. That would be on you. Okay. This is the one. So if you know the comic Tom Segura.
Okay.
He does a bit about this. There's a 38-year-old UK woman named Sarah Caldwell.
Okay.
She went to the hospital for a severe migraine. Now, keep in mind, she had never left the town she grew up in.
Wow.
In the UK.
All right.
So, at the time, she sounded like this.
Yeah, I'm not actually ringing about my policy, though. I'm ringing for a quote. Do you still want my policy number?
That's her UK accent.
Uh-huh.
So, after she went to the hospital for the severe migraine and she woke up, she sounded like this.
I have not actually heard my voice in a conversation for nearly 3 years now. I know it's me, but I feel like I want to say, oh, she make a good speak. She speak a good, but like that, not me no more.
She woke up with a Chinese accent.
How?
Here's what I find baffling about this. This is the one where I was like, I looked up debunking on this one because it's not just that her vocal patterns sound like she's doing a Chinese impersonation.
Yeah.
She's saying things she wouldn't have said before. I don't think she would have said things like, she speak good. It sounds like she's trying to do a bad impression because... She wouldn't say sentences like she sound like she speak good.
And nothing medical happened to her.
She had a migraine. So something was going on in her brain.
I believe her. Maybe I'm a sucker, but it would take so much concentration to speak like that.
But do you see what I'm saying? It's not just that her voice sounded like that.
Yeah.
It's that she was saying words in an order that she didn't say before. So it's not just changed the motor, like the control of her mouth that her brain was trying to do.
Yeah.
She was also saying things like, she speak good, when she would probably say before, like, oh, she speaks well.
Maybe her migraine triggered a personality disorder.
I don't know. But that one is one that makes me like... kind of raise my eyebrows a little bit.
A little bit. So when people have, and I know we're getting deep into psychology and neither you nor I are experts, I understand when someone has a stroke mm-hmm. or there's an operation, they go under anesthesia. Mm-hmm. But what is that movie, Mr. Glass and Bruce Willis?
It's the one where...
Hello, everyone. Dennis the Movie Guy here. And the movie that they are thinking of is Split with James McAvoy from 2016. It is the sequel to Unbreakable from 2000 by M. Night Shyamalan, and followed by the third movie in the trilogy, Glass, from 2019. It's actually a really awesome trilogy. You should check it out when you get a chance. And now back to the show.
James McAvoy plays this amazing character with all of these different personalities.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this movie?
No, but I've been told I should watch it.
Yes, it's so good.
Yeah.
And each of his different personalities has a different voice.
Which is, fascinating.
A different accent.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me wonder that if people with split personalities can have these different identities
yeah.
with different voices and accents, I can understand how one woman can fall asleep because her head is killing
yeah.
and wake up kind of with a different personality.
I feel like, though, don't they normally find that happens after trauma? Like, it's like if a lot of childhood trauma, you create these personalities to protect yourself, or is that old thinking?
No, I mean, I think that that's part of it. I don't know if that's the only part of it,
yeah.
but I see that could have happened to this woman.
It's interesting.
Right? She wakes up and she thinks that maybe she's a Chinese woman.
I just think it's interesting that she says sentences differently. That's the only thing that makes me raise my eyebrow a little bit. A couple more. There was an English woman named Kath who started experiencing severe head pain in 2006. And she also said felt like her mouth was going numb.
Huh.
So over the next few days, her speech became completely unintelligible. And she was diagnosed with cerebral vasculitis. It sounds like the blood that went to the area of speech
yeah.
of her brain was getting cut off.
Oh.
And so she had to learn to speak again. But when she spoke again, an accent came with it.
Oh.
I'm going to play that accent for you. So again, this was a UK woman.
Sometimes they say I'm French. Then they say I'm Italian. Then they say I'm German. I'm Croatian. I'm Gadian. Lithuanian, and one man very strange, but I was Japanese.
She literally does sound like a combination of all of those accents together.
Completely, yeah. And that's why I think they say that you're not really doing that accent. It's just that's what it sounds like because your brain is doing a different method of controlling all of your muscles in your mouth.
So I see. If you had played it for 10 different people, depending on what accents they were most familiar with or maybe where they were from, they would have heard something different.
Exactly.
A friend of mine was telling me the other day about mono, and you know how when you're a freshman in college, everybody lives on the same floor in close quarters, they get mono.
Yeah.
I never did. But she was telling me the story about a girl on her floor who got mono, and it was so bad that it caused stroke-like symptoms.
Oh my gosh.
Where she kind of had to relearn to do everything.
Oh, that's awful.
And she came back the next year after a summer of rehabilitation, and they were going to go to a frat party, and the girl who had that terrible case of mono said, I'll go with you, but I don't remember how to dance.
Oh, wow.
And because I've never suffered anything like that,
mm-hmm.
I cannot make the connection of not remembering how to do something.
Totally.
But the brain really does sever those muscle memories.
Totally.
And your mouth is all about muscle memory.
Yeah. It's completely, we don't think about how much our brain is doing. We think, oh, we make the sounds from our mouth.
Yeah.
But your brain is telling your tongue where to go. Your brain is telling your teeth what to do and how far apart your mouth should be, you know, top jaw from bottom jaw, where your lips should go.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to imagine, but your brain is like, well, maybe now your tongue goes a little bit more forward than it was before. And now this sounds like this. And it's a mechanical thing. So there's one more case I want to talk about.
Yeah,
now,
please.
This was recent. There's a case of a Connecticut woman named Hillary, whose accent wasn't brought on by a head injury or stroke, but rather it seemed to arrive when she got married.
Stop
here's
it.
Now, she was from Connecticut, and here's what she sounded like.
We have tomatoes. We have, how do you say it? Cucumber.
How you say cucumber?
Stop it. Stop.
How you say cucumber? Look, I don't blame Hilaria Baldwin. I really don't. Because when I was a freshman in college, I was in a play where I had to have an Irish accent. And did I try to convince my entire biology seminar class that I had an Irish accent for real? Yes, I did. You know what? Sometimes it's fun.
It took me a while, Bethany, to pick up on the joke that you were making.
How you say cucumber?
I was like, a Hillary from Connecticut. I was like, is she a farmer? Or is she at a farm stand right now?
Far from it.
Bethany,
yeah,
I know it's hot girl summer.
Literally, because yeah. I'm sweating.
But it's also, for me, hydrated girl summer.
Look at that glowy skin. Who is she?
I know. And that is because I am addicted in all of the best ways possible to liquid IV.
Yeah.
When I wake up in the morning, I pour myself a giant mason jar, like 60 ounces. It's a huge mason jar of water and ice. I put in my chosen liquid IV flavor of the day.
Yes.
And then getting my water throughout the day, not only tastes good, it also hydrates me better than just regular water.
I was talking to a friend of mine recently who said, ugh, I hate the taste of water. And I was like, there are so many options, and all of them are liquid IV. There are a million different flavors, not specifically a million, more like 10.
Yeah.
You can get Concord Grape. My favorite is Tropical Punch. Have you tried the Tropical Punch yet?
Yes, it's a new flavor. It is so good.
So good. And if you want to, you take half of the Tropical Punch pouch, you pour that in, and you take half of, like, you know, Pina Colada. Pour that in. You have yourself a summer delicious flavor drink.
When I was swimming in the pool at my friend's, I was making non-alcoholic cocktails, Bethany. Yeah. Chunks of frozen watermelon and the watermelon liquid IV.
Oh, man.
It was so delicious and also super hydrating.
Liquid IV is this delicious powder. It comes in these little sticks. You add it to 16 ounces of water and it hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Plus, you're getting 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C. It's non-GMO. It's free from gluten, dairy, and soy. And for every purchase, they donate a serving to someone in need.
And if you already have a favorite type of sports drink, I'm here to tell you that Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of a traditional sports drink.
So grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and you use the code TASTE at checkout.
That's 25% off of anything you order when you shop better hydration today using the promo code TASTE at liquidiv.com. Welcome to debate class.
Oh, good.
Did you ever take debate in high school?
No, and I wish I had, because I am not great at debating.
Yeah.
And it's a skill that is getting more and more important.
I never took debate. They didn't even offer it in my school.
I don't know if they are. I'm sure they offered it in my school. I think I was just too busy not hanging out with people to do things.
There was academic decathlon, which might have had a debate segment.
I think you're right. And I think that was the same in my school.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, today, Bethany, you and I are going to, I have a list of topics.
Okay.
And then you and I are going to rock, paper, scissor to see who gets to pick the agree side or the disagree side.
Gotcha.
Okay. First topic, we will see, means it's probably not going to happen.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Ready? Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, you shoot on four. Okay, I shoot on 3.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll shoot on 4.
Okay.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors,
shoot. Oh, you're scissor, I'm paper.
Okay, so let's say that the one who wins gets to agree.
Okay.
And the one who loses gets to disagree.
Okay, so I disagree that we will see means it's not going to happen.
Yes.
What is our time limit?
Oh, that is, I didn't even think about that.
Okay.
Okay, let's do a minute apiece. Is that too long, or should we do 30 seconds?
You know what? Let's start with a minute.
Okay.
And if it feels like it's dragging on forever,
we'll cut it.
We'll cut it. So I'm going to start a timer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm going to start a stopwatch. Uh-huh. Nope, a timer for 1 minute.
Okay. So
do you want to go first?
I'll go first. So start the timer on 3.
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
Okay.
We will see means that someone does not give a fuck as to what you have to offer. They don't want to do anything about your idea. We will see means I'm not going to tell you yes or no because you're going to be upset when I ultimately tell you no. We will see means I'm going to go about my life and I probably never, ever want to see your fucking face ever, ever again. If I was like, Bethany, let's hang out. And you're like, okay, we'll see. That means you absolutely do not want to hang out with me because every time I invite you to hang out, you're like, okay, we'll see. And then it never, ever, ever happens.
This feels attacking. So,
we will see means it's never going to happen. And if you think anything different, you are absolutely dead wrong. You have a brain that's scrambled and you're stupid.
Oh.
If you think we will see means that there is actually a possibility of it happening.
Four.
Three, two, one.
Are you allowed to resort to personal attacks?
I guess, sure. Those are the rules because I attacked you.
Okay, gotcha. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, so okay. 1 minute.
Yes.
I believe that it does not mean we, it's not happening.
Okay, ready? Start on three.
Okay.
One, two, three.
We will see means exactly what the words say. Mm-hmm. We will see because what words have meaning. Words have weight. If we don't believe in the words that people say, uh-huh. then we will spend the rest of our lives questioning everything that everyone says, questioning the double meaning, and that is no way to live a life. Whether or not you believe the person actually means it's not going to happen, you have to take their words at face value. So if they say, we'll see, then yes, you will see. And then you can check back in with them before you get a yes or a no. Now, if someone asks me, hey, are you available on this date? If I say we will see, it means I do not have all of the information yet. It means that I have something up in the air and I am waiting to see what that gets scheduled as. No. As somebody who has A, works for themselves, but also sometimes works for other people, I do not always have control over my schedule.
You're
sometimes
wrong.
You can't butt in while
I'm
debating.
I'm sorry, keep going.
Well, no, now my time is up because you butted in on me.
I really truly feel in my heart of hearts that you're wrong.
This feels like it's something that just happened to you because it feels like you have a lot of skin in this game. This
no,
feels like you're,
no.
you're really, this is touchy.
No, see, that means I'm a good debater.
Ah.
Right? Because I really have no skin in this game.
But you resorted to personal attacks.
I'm so sorry.
No. I mean, okay. I'm just, that's why I thought that there was maybe.
Yeah.
Said that you had been hurt before.
Your presentation was much more eloquent than mine.
Well, thank you. But yeah. Again, I had no skin in the game.
Okay. So let's do another topic.
Okay. What's the next topic?
Everyone should have a pet monkey.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, I'm a rock.
Yes, yeah, so you get to agree. Okay. You want to go first?
God, this is hard because I disagree.
Or should I go first?
I don't know. Who goes first?
You go first. Okay. Agree goes first.
Oh,
okay.
This is tough because I don't agree.
Okay.
Everyone stop. Don't listen to this because I don't agree.
No, but you have to agree.
Okay.
Bethany, you really have to believe your argument.
Here we go.
Start
I believe
on
my
three.
Argument.
One, two, three.
Everyone should have a pet monkey, and here is why. In order for a pet monkey to be a capable and safe pet, it means that everybody should have the means to provide a safe environment for this animal. We all know about the monkey who tore off the woman's face and had to be shot.
Oh, God.
In order for that not to happen, we all would have to be trained in proper care of wild animal. We would all have to live in an area that was lush and green. And for that to happen, it would mean that we all have to live in a beautiful world that is not marred by pollution. We would have to live in unity with the animals, which is absolutely something I think we should all be striving for.
Uh-huh.
So instead of buying a monkey and putting it in your house, the goal is for all of us to help create a cleaner earth where we live in symbiosis with the animals. Thus, we all truly would have a pet monkey in the same way we would have a pet dog and a pet whale and a pet bird.
A pet whale, you're crazy.
You're not good at not yelling.
I'm sorry. I just, Bethany, I was really disagreeing with your argument.
Okay, well, you have a chance to go now.
Okay.
So I'm going to start this over.
Okay.
Your debate starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
If you've ever seen the show Friends, you might be familiar with a pet on that sitcom called Marcel. Mm-hmm. Now, Marcel was not a good pet. He was a monkey and he was a terrible pet. And let me tell you why. Marcel would play tricks on Ross. Poor Ross. He was just the butt of all of Marcel's jokes. Marcel, I believe, once stole a baby or hid a baby or maybe didn't like Ross's date and cock-blocked Ross, something like that. Listen, when you have a cat or a dog, a well-established domesticated animal, if there ends up being poo in your house somewhere, it is absolutely an accident, because these animals, you know, they can control their bowels. They know where to go. Pet monkeys, on the other hand, Bethany, and this is, I really think, is the number one reason why no one ever should have a pet monkey in their home, is because monkeys can pick up poo and sling
it
at
you. You lost your time. Okay. You couldn't hit the poo flinging.
Damn. That was really the that point was, that I was going to drive home with. Shit.
Okay, what's the next topic, okay, Kathleen?
It's not okay to live with your parents over the age of 30.
Oh, wow.
I know. There are going to be people listening to this.
Some people.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
Should we not do this one?
No, it's up.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Paper over rock. So I agree.
You agree.
That no one should live with your parents over 30.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Let me set the timer.
And.
Okay.
One, two, three, go.
Okay. Nobody over the age of 30 should be living with their parents for the length of time since they've, for their entire lives. So if you have hit some hardships and you had to move back home, that's one thing.
Yeah.
However, if you turned 18 and you didn't move out, you turned 20, you didn't move out. You turned 25, you didn't move out. At some point, you are missing out on a lot of the opportunities that life brings, because you are still subconsciously doing what your parents want you to do.
Yeah.
And it prevents you from learning how to truly take care of yourself. Also, sometimes parents are a giant bummer, and you don't want to be held responsible for all of your actions your whole life. Mm-hmm. What if you want to bring someone home and make really bad choices with them?
Yeah.
You are missing out on so many life experiences that shape you when you don't move out of your parents' house. Plus, at some point, you need to learn how to handle your own money and, you know, pay like a lot of rent.
That was a good argument. You left out my favorite part,
What's
though,
that?
That when you live with your parents, you can't really have wild sex.
Well, yeah, that's the bad decisions part.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bad decisions part. Okay.
All right. Start on three.
One, two, three.
I think it's a really good idea to live with your parents over the age of 30. Do you know why, Bethany?
Why, Kathleen?
Because it helps you save money. Because every person living with their parents over the age of 30 probably loves being taken care of. That enables you to become a successful adult, because you can save enough money so that when you do finally buy your own home, you can hire a butler and you can always be taken care of. And really, when you live with your parents over the age of 30, it allows them to deduct a dependent on their taxes for as long as humanly possible. I think the age for that is now up to 26.
Oh.
So really, you're doing your parents a favor and you're sticking it to the government. And also, did I mention that you will be the favorite child? If there is more than one child, you will come to the top of the will and you will know all of the family secrets. Yes.
Timer. I don't know why the timer isn't ringing.
That was a minute.
That was a minute.
I don't agree with anything I said. Other than you will know all the family secrets and you'll come to the top of the will.
You will. Yeah. I know one member of my family moved in for a period of time with another member of my family just for like a few gap months.
Are you talking about yourself?
No, but this member of my family learned about all of the other member of my family's stock investments and suddenly had really good advice on what stocks they should invest in. And the only way they would have known that is because they were going through, sneaking through their stock portfolio. Which is amazing.
Who keeps their stock portfolio printed out these days?
I mean,
it's all digital for me.
Sure.
Should we do one where we're doing debate at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Facebook is ruining lives every single day.
Okay.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, two scissors.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, paper.
Okay, so I get
your
to
scissors.
Agree.
Yeah.
And you get to disagree. Oh, this is going to be hard for you.
Okay, I disagree that Facebook is ruining lives every day.
Okay, ready? One, two, three, go.
Kathleen, when is the last time you needed to find a member of your family on the internet?
I mean, all the time.
What platform did you use?
I used Facebook and Google search. I found my cousin Todd.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And were you able to reconnect with Todd on Facebook?
Yes, after 21 years of not seeing each other.
How many families have been able to reconnect to each other on Facebook?
Yeah.
Those benefits absolutely mean something. They carry weight because families sometimes lose. I heard a true crime story just this morning where a woman realized that her real mom had been murdered and that the guy who adopted her out was actually the murderer, and he gave her to his family, and then she was raised by the murderer's family. Yeah. She never would have found this out without Facebook.
Bethany, that woman was better off not knowing her family. And let me tell you why.
Why?
Because once you get to know your family on Facebook, once you connect with them and you add them to your, I don't know, you can add people to your family tree on Facebook. You can say, this person's my mom. This person's my cousin.
It's
this
lovely.
Person. No, people share way too many details.
In what way? How does that ruin lives?
I know who's going through a divorce because they're posting sexy pictures after, you know, 10 years after proving to people that they were married on Facebook.
Whose life does that ruin? They're only ruining their own lives, but they would have imploded it anyway by having an affair so publicly.
The other day I said to someone, no, I know you're married. And they said, no, I'm not. I said, no, I know. I saw it on Facebook. And they said, you absolutely did not. I'm not married.
Okay, but
and
they posted it on Facebook.
I made a total faux pas because I got them confused with someone else that looked like them on Facebook.
Here's the thing. So using Facebook does mean that you have to be a little bit more aware of what's going on around you and who you do follow, and maybe not bigging up the wrong people in polite conversation. However, the benefits of Facebook are that we are able to find people who are long and lost. We are able to stay connected to people we can't possibly see every single day, either because of COVID or just distance.
Disconnect. They're all stupid.
Okay, but you can't just say people are stupid and that's why it's ruining the society. Society is not individuals. Society is people as a whole. And I say people as a whole have fully benefited from the connectivity that Facebook gives us.
No, I'm so invested in some people's children that I've never even met, and it's ruining my life. Like, I don't care.
So it's ruining your life, but is it ruining society's life?
About my childhood friend's children. I don't, but I'm so invested in their photos.
You have the capability to unfollow them.
Oh, Bethany, I just know Facebook is ruining lives.
You can't just say it's ruining lives. You haven't proved a thing.
Yes, I have. I'm giving solid examples.
No, you're not. Okay, everybody vote. Not on your own opinion of if Facebook is ruining lives, because it certainly is. But who do you think won that argument? If you are an impartial jury, whose opinion swayed you more?
Yeah, send us an email.
Whose argument swayed you more?
I don't think that you and I would be very good at debate.
No, we're terrible at it.
We need a teacher to guide us.
Yeah, I don't. How do you learn the art of debate? Socrates?
A textbook.
Plato?
Your mom.
Your mom. Kathleen, yesterday, the Upside app sent me an alert saying that gas prices in my area were 71% higher than normal.
Oh.
And if you are cringing at the pump, or if you are getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant.
Everything's so expensive.
Everything. Inflation is hitting us all, and it hurts. That is why Kathleen and I started using Upside. It's this incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. Because with every purchase, you are earning cash back thanks to Upside.
You know where I've been earning Upside cash?
What's that?
At Starbucks.
Really?
Bethany, there are some Starbuckses on there, and it makes me really excited because I'm already going to buy that latte anyway.
Yes.
I might as well get some of that cash back.
So to get started, do what we did. Download the free Upside app in the App Store or on Google Play and use our promo code AAT and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. And then when you go to whatever business you're going to, you hit check in at that business, you pay as usual with a credit card or debit card, and then you get money back. And every location you go to has a different percentage that you get back. Some places it's lower, like 7%. Some places it's like 17% cash back.
It's insane. See, those 17% cash back places are the places where you convince your friends to go.
Yes.
Then you offer to pay, not only are you getting the points on your regular credit card, but then you're getting your Upside cash back. All you have to do at the end of the dinner or lunch or whatever is take a picture of the receipt, and then Cash App sends you the rest.
You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands.
And Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week.
They have 4.8 star ratings on the App Store. That is a higher star rating than our podcast has.
So, no, it's not, Bethany.
Isn't
stop it? No, we have a 4.9.
Oh.
Download the free Upside app and use the promo code AAT to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more.
That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code AAT. So, Kathleen, we had our live show last night, as we said in segment one.
Yes.
And I told the story on the live show how I bought a car in this preparation for the move.
So exciting.
And it was such a fiasco that the car salesman actually said to us, I'm having a real hard time selling you guys a car.
Oh, no.
And he said, and it's not your fault.
Oh, so you weren't being like disagreeable.
No. Every time he found a car that we were interested in, he was like, great. He went to go get the keys and the car was missing.
Oh, no.
It wasn't. He didn't know where it was. It said in the system it existed, and it was nowhere on the sales floor.
Wow.
And it was nowhere in the parking lot.
You know, in the New York, New Jersey area, it's a huge thing where cars are being stolen.
Ooh.
Because there's so many cars being stolen, it's on the rise because there are not enough cars in the car purchasing market.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I was saying on the show last night, I and several of our taste buds in the chat were concerned that they had double sold this car.
Oh.
Because the car dealership has really high positive reviews online.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there was a massive turnover since those reviews were written because now everything is total chaos. So when I finally was like, this is a car I really like, and he said, I promise it'll have brakes when you buy it.
Yeah.
Then I was like, great, let's get this ball rolling.
Yes.
But the financing guy was busy and too busy to meet with me. So he's like, the financing guy will call you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I was like, great. Financing guy never called.
Yeah.
And then Monday was Monday and finance guy never called. I emailed yesterday, which was Tuesday, my sales guy. I was like, hey, wait, the finance guy, where is he?
Yeah.
And I never heard back from my sales guy.
No.
So I was panicking even more.
Yeah.
So this morning I called the dealership.
Yeah, because you're like, I put down a $500 deposit. Yeah,
I would like this car.
Yeah, where's my car, bro?
Yeah, I need my car, bro. And I called and she was like, well, no one's here, but I will have the finance person call you. And by doing that, I mean, I'm going to put you through to his voicemail so you can tell him to call you.
Oh,
I was like, okay, great.
Man.
So I leave a voicemail and I say specifically, call me anytime after 2:30.
Yeah.
Because I have a dentist appointment before then.
Oh, I get it. I'm so dense.
Fine. I didn't deliver it very well. It's fine. So I leave that voicemail. I hang up. Now I'm getting ready to go record.
Yeah.
Here today.
Yeah, yeah.
And my phone rings and it's the sales guy. He was like, hey. And I was like, oh, hey, I called. He's like, I know why you called. So I'm like, well, why are you being rude about it?
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, so when I told you that the financing guy was going to call you the next day, he actually went on vacation the next day. I guess I should have told you that.
Yeah, that's like, just a minor detail.
You definitely should have told me that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, is the car still mine? And he goes, yeah, it would be illegal for us to sell it if we've already sold it to you. And I'm like, yeah, but I kind of at this point don't trust that you're not going to do it.
Yeah, no, I'm on your side 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was like, no, it's fine. The financing guy will handle it. And I'm like, I feel like he might not.
Yeah.
So I forwarded him an email from my loan people and whatever. I think I still have the car. But the moral of the story is it's been a whole thing trying to buy this car.
Man.
And like I will not be surprised if they still don't actually know where the car is when it's time for me to buy it. I didn't test drive it. I sat in it while our sales guy test drove it because it did not actually have operating brakes. And so they said it's not legal for us to test drive it.
How did he drive it
apparently,
if there's no brakes?
There were actual brakes, but not the pads that allow the brakes to let up. So you could stop exactly once.
Yeah.
And then had to turn the car off. So
gotcha.
Like it was illegal for us to drive the car.
I thought you were going
to
say they had like a really sturdy parachute at the end of the parking lot.
There was a buffer set up. You just had to drive slowly into the buffer and then it would stop you gently.
You are very trusting purchasing a car without actually getting it behind the wheel.
Well, the thing is, because I rent 2 zip cars a week with where I have to go.
Yeah.
I've driven this car before.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I know how this car handles.
Yeah.
I was inside the car. Like, I was able to see all the oozits and whatsits.
Yeah.
And like, I like the car, you know, it's great. Gets great gas mileage. It's not a hearse, but we all have to make sacrifices in this world. So it's fine.
It's not a hearse.
But
did you really look into buying a hearse?
Oh, Kathleen, absolutely I did.
Do they make electric hearses? Because I typically think of a hearse as a clunker.
It is a clunker. It gets 17 miles to the gallon.
Oh my God.
That's the reason I'm not driving a hearse as my regular car.
That's terrible.
Do they make electric hearses?
Like, I feel there are a lot of people on this earth that there should be eco-friendly, environmentally friendly hearses.
People are dying all the time.
You know what, Bethany? This is actually a brilliant business idea.
Electric hearses?
Electric hearses.
This website, news... www.wfuneralnet.com says the electric hearse is here to stay.
Oh.
The electric car has arrived in the funeral home business. Yeah. Electric car manufacturers are increasing the power and capacity of batteries to ensure the range of blah, 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 blah. The electric hearse is environmentally strong, reducing blah, 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 blah. Yeah. What brand is it? What? Tell me what brand these hearses are.
So I hope that if you are savvy enough to rent an electric hearse for your loved one dying,
yeah.
I hope that you also, I don't know, maybe like aqua cremate them or have their body turned into compost. Yeah. You know? So it's full circle eco-friendly.
Tesla makes a hearse.
Uh-oh.
They don't give a price.
As much as I love, I wish I could afford an electric car. I think they're pretty expensive.
They're pretty expensive.
Still,
yeah.
You know, I'm not well-versed on the topic, but I imagine that the next car I buy, I'm trying to get 10 years out of my car, so maybe in 4 years, I'll be able to afford an electric car.
I'm with you. I want my next car to be electric. There's just not enough infrastructure yet. I want to have enough, like, parking garages that have power places, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't see that enough yet.
You have to identify every single one.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When you're taking a road trip, it is my understanding that a lot of the places to charge your car electrically are Tesla only. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know, but you know.
See, that sucks.
Someone in my old neighborhood would park their car in front of the brownstone, which is just public street parking.
Yeah.
So it was just pure luck that they would get that spot.
Yeah.
And then they ran a huge industrial cord from their apartment, an open window, to their car. And then they put one of these like plastic protector things on the sidewalk so no one would trip over.
So you don't trip over because you could get sued, sure.
Yeah, it's like city living at its finest. It's so funny.
So the Tesla hearse is 160,000 euros.
Oh.
Let's see. There's a Nissan Leaf
that
can be adapted to be a full electric hearse. The Mercedes eVito hearse. It doesn't say how much it is. It's designed to carry up to 2 caskets.
Oh, yeah. What if you... Okay. Business idea for you.
Yeah.
Now that you're living in the country,
yeah.
People need things moved.
For sure.
Like furniture that they buy at stores that they can't get home.
Yeah.
What if you did, I'm into rhyming, but this doesn't really make sense. What if you started a business that's called like purse in a hearse? And you pick up people's stuff and move it for them in your electric hearse.
Look, I think it's a great idea. Guess what? It fits so much. It fits 8 to 10 feet of stuff in the back.
Yeah.
And if this eVito hearse carries up to 2 standard-sized caskets, that's wide.
Junk in my hearsey trunk.
Like buddies, not bodies.
Oh.
And I like, you know, I'm your buddy. I pick things up for you.
Bethany,
right?
That's so clever.
Yeah.
Here's a little piece of advice. If you go back and your car is not there.
Yeah,
and
they sold it again.
They've sold it out from underneath you.
Yeah.
You need to buck up on your negotiating tactics before you see the sales guy again.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, this place gets good reviews, mm-hmm. and I know you didn't mean to give me the runaround, but my sneakers are worn out.
Yeah, worn out.
Worn out.
Yeah.
So you're going to sell me another car, a slightly better car, for the same price, and we're going to call it even.
Yeah, we're going to call it even, and I'm not going to leave an angry, strongly worded review for you.
Yes, that is exactly what you do.
Yeah.
It happened to me and Neil years ago. We were going to buy this car, and before they were about to hit the purchase button, somebody else purchased it out from underneath us.
That he said that's illegal once you've like
signed
the paperwork.
We didn't put a deposit down because we were just going to buy it that day.
Sure.
Like, you know, and we even took the other one out for a test drive. And apparently like someone else was just waiting to get the funding. And then they called before our deal was done.
That sucks.
But we got a better car out of it.
Yeah.
And
screw them.
Now I have champagne taste in Hondas. And I'll never go back to the basic Honda.
Never go back. So, Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Bethany, I learned that wearing shorts is GD liberating.
Well, explain yourself.
Okay, so I'm going to stand up. I'm very sweaty. You might be able to see through my shorts. But listen.
Look at that.
I'm wearing my shorts this week.
They're like a seersucker.
They're seersucker short. I got them from, they're bright red. They have a tie at the waist. I got them from Target.
Great.
I typically, before this summer, would have been too embarrassed to wear shorts into New York City.
Sure. Shows a lot of leg and it can ride up.
Shows a lot of leg. There's a lot of opportunity for chafing.
Sure.
But you know what? It is hot.
It's so hot.
I don't care what my chunky cheese sticks legs look like. My legs are free.
Yeah.
And they're aerated.
Yeah.
And if you have been holding back, nobody gives a shit.
No, no one. Especially when it's this hot. Everyone is in their own private hell.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's you do what you have to do to survive.
Yeah, you do. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned this from you last night, Kathleen. This was such a good tip.
Oh.
When you get sick with something,
yeah,
text someone about it.
Yes.
The same day it happens. And then that way, when you go to the doctor and they ask when your symptoms started,
yep,
you can keyword search your texts for like bile vomit, and then you get the exact date down to the time when it started instead of, because you said what, you thought you had something for 6 months and so, it was actually years?
Yeah, so I've been experiencing jaw pain, which is problematic because you and I talk for a lot.
So much.
And I went to this fancy jaw doctor and he's like, when did it start? I'm like, that's a good question. Maybe like a year ago. Mm-hmm. Bethany, it actually started in like 2016.
That's so many more years than you thought.
And I forget.
Yeah.
You forget because sometimes you just live with pain for so long.
Totally.
You can't remember when it started.
Yeah.
And so I have a record of me complaining to everybody that I know that my jaw hurts. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I showed up late. My jaw was hurting.
Because who thinks to like log this pain started?
I know.
So yeah, it may mean that you complain a little bit more about your health, but it's good because it's good documentation.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
I'm at Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also follow our show on social media.
Yes, we're on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
We also have a P.O. Box, Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030. Shout out to Lenny,
yes,
who just sent us a bunch of COVID tests, which was so nice of her.
I was just picking up my phone to look at her note because thank you for sending us the COVID test. Let's see, what else? We have a phone number.
We do.
It is 917-994-0353.
We have a Patreon. You get a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can get free live shows. We do twice a month.
Yeah.
We get a study group once a month. We do, you do a book club, Kathleen.
Yes, the next one is on July 31st.
Fabulous.
Sunday morning, and we're reading One Italian Summer.
Oh, Italian.
Yeah, a good beach read.
Ooh, exotic.
Yes.
Patreon.com/acquired taste.
Did we hit all the talking points?
We have an editor.
Yes, we do.
His name is Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media.
He's so handsome.
He's great. At Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
And twice a month, Bethany and Dennis release their bonus podcast, The Check-In, on our feed. So you can get that right where you're listening to this podcast.
Exactly. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, it's Taste Bud Jamie here in Washington. I am actually listening to the most recent one, woohoo, where you're talking about the gross food recipes and everything. There's actually a guy on TikTok who makes all these super old recipes and then tries them. And it is so good to watch his reaction when he's actually trying these foods. Some are actually turn out pretty well. So sorry for already mentioning that. I'm only halfway through the episode, but love you guys. Bye.
Hello, Acquired Taste ladies. This is Taste Bud Christy. I've been listening for ages. First time caller. Absolutely love the voice message there. And I am having a rather sexy day. So anyway, I was just listening to the pod about the weird old timey recipes, and noodle pudding came up. So I wanted to call because noodle pudding is something that my mother makes every single Christmas. It's like her great-grandmother's recipe on her side. I want to say it's maybe like a Hungarian or Polish recipe. I don't remember exactly. But she actually makes it like with the golden raisins and ragout cheese in it and canned cherries. So it's really super good. I think you should try it. I'd love to share the recipe if you all want it. I can certainly email it over if you want to give it a go, but it's really good. It's kind of a sweet, but not too sweet. You can have it on the side of your regular meal, or you can kind of dessert it or eat it on its own. So anyway, never heard of anybody else in my life talk about noodle pudding, so I figured I had to call in because literally my mother makes it every single Christmas, like enough to feed an army. So yeah, that's it. Just calling about noodle pudding. I guess that's my claim to fame. Hope you have a great day. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, Alyssa, longtime listener. living here in South Florida, just listening to the latest episode, and I had to call in because I was dying laughing at Kathleen's story of going to the nude beach. So here in South Florida, we have a nude beach, and my experience was very similar to hers. But I actually, we knew it was a nude beach, but my friends wanted to go. So I'm like, okay, it's fine. I guess we'll go. I knew I was never going to take my clothes off. And we get there, and it's much like she said, you just keep seeing signs like clothing optional, like basically warning you the whole time, like this is a nude beach, proceed with caution. And it was probably one of the weirdest experiences in my life. Like she said, most of the people there that were naked were men over 50, maybe even older. And there was one man there, and he was very, very blessed. He should be very proud of himself. We all kept thinking as women, like, if it's that way, like now, how is it when he's getting ready to do the deed? Because that would not come near me. It's definitely an experience that you all should go and experience just one time. I did not take my clothes off. I am much like Bethany and Kathleen. There's no way I was going to do that. But it definitely is an experience. And if you get the opportunity, just go have some drinks and enjoy the scenery.
Good morning, Bethany. Good morning, Kathleen. Facebook Stacy in Baltimore, originally from New Jersey. I miss it so much. But I was calling because on your latest episode, you talked about the Oregon Trail. Now, first off, oh, the memories. But also, apparently, you can now play an updated version of the Oregon Trail on iOS. So when I first got my new phone, it comes with a free period of the Apple Arcade, and on there is an updated version of the Oregon Trail. It's extremely detailed. They did change a few things. So instead of being one family, it's a group of five strangers, which is very interesting, and you get to choose the different occupations that each person has. So like a carpenter, a hunter, a priest, and something else. I can't remember the rest of them. But it was so much fun to play, but it's a multi-day commitment because they really drag out each day and give you a lot more instances of like, they broke their leg, they died of dysentery. Highly recommend it if anybody has access to the arcade just for the nostalgia vibes. And then in the second part of the episode, oh my gosh, Kathleen, reading and listening to all of the different recipes that people used to use. There's actually someone on TikTok. I believe his name is B. Dylan Hollis. He actually reads out these recipes and then he makes them. It's hysterical. The whole time I'm thinking about how funny it would be for you two ladies to go into a kitchen and make these. Sounds like something you can do on the Patreon, just saying. Anyway, love you ladies so, so much. I'm always looking forward to hearing each episode each week. It is literally like having a hug from my best friends, and I really miss my best friends from home. So thank you again so, so much. Have a great day. Taste buds, love you all. Have a great one.